Seeing you all in red, I got the feeling that maybe for some of you, you have this red outfit or this red shirt or red pants, and you think, when am I ever going to be able to wear this to church? Well, today's the day, and it's wonderful to see all of that red. In red all over God's kingdom today, celebrating Pentecost. Thank you, especially Judy, for inviting me to be with you today. On this day, we have heard twice, the lesson has been broken down into two pieces, about what this day means. It's a day when we hear about tongues, and in the scriptures they're called, in some versions, tongues as of fire coming down to the disciples so they could speak in other languages. And of course, that's where the red comes from, is from that sense of fire. And then we hear that they've been accused of being drunk. And then all of a sudden, they are speaking in other languages. Quite a drama, right? Quite a drama of the day, even as we read just a few minutes ago. But we can also imagine that the disciples were saying to each other, and we get hints of that in the scriptures even, saying to themselves and to each other, now what do we do? I imagine we have all had those now what do I do experiences. Maybe from after a divorce or after the death of a loved one, or that experience of grief or losing a job. So many things in our life that happen to us that we don't expect, that we say to ourselves afterwards, what do we do? For me, I was thinking about, I went off to college after high school and I was on my verge of flunking out when I changed schools. But I didn't know what I was going to do when I was flunking out, because I was taking math and science I had no business ever even looking at. So I discovered, the best part of that story is my father was a World War II Marine who fought in Guadalcanal and Tarawa, and I thought, well, I'll just join the Marine Corps. I'm flunking out of college, I'll just join the Marine Corps. Well, God was with my dad because he talked me out of it. It was not for me. So the end of the story is I went on and got into liberal arts where I belonged, and the rest is history. But I think we've all had those experiences where we ask ourselves, what do I do now? What do I do now? And that's where the disciples were when this was happening. So if you were one of those disciples, been following Jesus for, we figure, about 3 years, and all of a sudden he's up and gone, we might say to ourselves, what do we do now? Well, we could certainly circle the wagons. Remember in the Westerns when the Indians were coming on to John Wayne and all the cowboys? What did they do in the wagon train? They circled the wagons, right? They put the wagons in a circle so they could protect themselves. And I think that's sort of what the disciples did initially. They were told to all gather in one place, almost the way of Jesus saying, I want you to all be together because you're going to need each other. You're going to need each other when I'm gone. So they gathered in this one place in Jerusalem, sort of like circling the wagons, because they were together. They were in a place that was familiar to them. Even though their world was turned upside down, they found comfort in that togetherness. They weren't prepared for Jesus to die. Their world really had been turned upside down. He really didn't leave them a roadmap. There was no GPS in those days. And that, his death itself, was confusing enough for them. But what were they going to do now? Now, if we add to that, the previous lesson in Acts is the lesson of the ascension, where Jesus is caught up and he goes up to heaven. They were really confused after that happened. So in the blink of the eye, or should we say at Jesus' last breath on the cross, their discipleship ended. That was the end of their discipleship. The lessons were over. Now Jesus' command to follow me took on a whole new meaning for the disciples. Upon Jesus' death, they went from sitting at his feet, we know the story of Mary and Martha, they went from sitting at Jesus' feet like Mary, learning the truth from God, to being now having to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and to do the work of Martha from the story. They went from a period of learning to a period of teaching. It was the start of a process not unlike what you will be experiencing upon Len's retirement. A process that begins with change that leads to transition and culminates in transformation. This is the process that the disciples were going through. Change is as inevitable as the sunrise. It's the only thing in this world we can be absolutely sure of. Things will change, whether we like it or not. Think of the things that have changed in your life, things that you could never have imagined for yourself or for our world. When in First Congregational Church, where I serve, where we have screens like this, and every once in a while, things go haywire. And so our pastor says, you live by technology, you die by technology. Think of the technology that you have seen in your lifetime. I remember as a kid in 1969, huddled around our television set. I was about 20, huddled around our television set watching Neil Armstrong put his foot on the moon. And my sisters and I, during this TV telecast, would get up and we'd go in the kitchen, get something to eat, and you know, kind of fool around the house, come back once in a while, and our parents were absolutely transfixed on that television. Because for them, it was something that they didn't even dream of. And for us, it was just a matter of time for our generation. The president said we'd be on the moon by the end of the decade, and we were. But think of the changes that had happened in your life, in my life. They are inevitable. And I can, whenever you say that could never happen, whenever I hear it saying it to myself, I think of my mother who always said, never say never. Right. So we can fear this change. We can fight against it. We can grumble constantly about it. We can deny it. Or we can learn to live with it. I suspect the disciples had all of these reactions to Jesus leaving him. We don't really hear much about them except for Peter and John we hear about, and then, of course, Thomas, who was the doubter. Experiencing change is much like grief, and it includes those well-known stages of denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. Add to those stages for us fear, and for the disciples, they were certainly afraid. What is going to happen to us? What are we going to do now? We heard it in our dramatic reading today about the women wondering when the men were even going to go outside and face the world. They were afraid. But change came to them, whether they were ready or not. Jesus was gone, but not without a promise. Not without a promise. And that promise was the promise of today, of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit would come to them and guide them in their journey to come. So as we all must do when change comes, the disciples had to cope with it. They had to learn to live with it. In this step of living with change, we call that transition, a process by which we deal with it, how we come to terms with it, how we learn from change, how we grow from change, and how we can even begin to see change as a gift from God coming to us. For the disciples, the success of that transition was evident from their faithfulness to the leading of this Holy Spirit that we celebrate today at Pentecost. They allowed the Spirit to guide them. The disciples regrouped, and they were all together in one place. The scriptures say, perhaps in the beginning to circle the wagons and to hide, at first at least. I'll bet they were weighing their options. Well, we could stay here in Jerusalem. That's one thing we could do, and wait for the Holy Spirit to come as Jesus promised, which is what they did. Though they could have said, let's just all go home. Sort of like the college student that graduates and can't find a job, so they go home. That was certainly an option for the disciples. They could have just gone home, gone back to fishing and whatever they did before they met Jesus. It is even safe to claim that they didn't know Jesus. Maybe that's what they were afraid of. They were afraid even to claim to be his followers. Peter, we know, knew all about that. Their doubts were answered, however, thanks be to God, with the rush of a mighty wind and the gift of the ability to speak in other languages. Now they could take the good news of Jesus out to the world. Thus began their transformation into true apostles for the risen Christ. No longer would they be held back by their fears and their anxieties. It would be the Holy Spirit that would guide them now through trials we can't even imagine, so bringing the message of God's great love and grace to the world. It is that same Spirit that guides us in this day through change and transition and transformation, making us as well true apostles of the risen Christ. We too are blessed with languages that speak of love and justice and affirmation and welcome. Languages our world so badly needs to hear above those of violence and intolerance and hatred. We too must resist the temptation to circle the wagons when our world so craves the good news of Jesus that is found in his life and in his teachings. So on this birthday of the church, may our doors be open, not only in welcome to all of God's children, there are no exceptions, but to the winds of the Spirit that will direct us toward God's purpose for us in this time and in this place. Amen.